Ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, please be upstanding for the arrival of the Mayor, Councillor Sophie Ramsay, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Kelly.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Please remain upstanding for the prayer and the reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations, the advancement of thy glory, and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. The reconciliation statement. Melton City Council acknowledges the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants of the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Please bear with us for a moment. Apologies and leave of absence.
Apologies this evening, Madam Mayor, from Councillor Dunn and Councillor Carley.
Changes to the order of business.
There are no changes, Madam Mayor.
Now, deputations, and bear with me for a second whilst I... Okay. We have a couple of deputations this evening for both two wonderful projects. Well, the third Melton Scout Group are here, and also the Witten Project are here to make presentations to Council. I need a notice, a procedural motion to suspend the meeting procedure to allow this to happen. Is there a Councillor prepared to move that?
I'm happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Please, I believe Mr King, you can't hear me. Thank you. Mr King, the Council would like to invite you to address any of your delegates from the third Melton Scout Group. Hello, welcome. I know it's Trevor. And who else am I greeting? Eden. Aidan. And Leanne. Lovely to meet you. Do you want a microphone? Come here and take this one off. Come here, I'll share.
Yeah. What we're doing is for the presentation of the SCAR, Shane Jacobson was made Chief Commissioner of Scouts in Victoria. He's a Chief Ambassador, and he invested some 2,500 Scouts, Cubs, Venturers, leaders to scarf up prominent members of the community, and that's why we're here tonight. So, and Aidan is our ambassador for the Third Melton, and I'll hand it over to him now.
All right, so in the very centre of the scarf, we have all the districts of scarfing within Victoria. Up the very top here is our Orange Aurora district. Along the side, we have
on the edges of the staff, there is actually people that symbolic to scouting and a lot of activity, as well as a lot of the state and England and Victoria. So we have the city, the weedy city dragon, that is our aquatic animal, possum, deer, chicken lady. It's actually made from the staff, so there's a lot of people that we saw.
So, yes, we're giving this to you on behalf of the Scouting Movement
Thank you very, very much for that. I really appreciate it. Okay. It just keeps getting better and better. Now I have the great pleasure of inviting, I think there's two young men. Well, there is two young men. You from the Witten Project. The prestigious You Inspire Me Award was last night awarded to Billy, is it Metters, from CRC. Billy beat Matt Spatieri, who's also here, from CRC, in a very tightly finished award by only one vote, is it? There were 66 participants in the Witten Project, and out of the 66, they chose the people that they voted for the young people that inspired them the most, and to see that our two boys topped that chart as one and two by their peers from CRC is absolutely exceptional. You've worked really, really hard in the Witten Project and you've made all of Melton City very, very proud. Councillor Turner, was there anything else you wanted to add? Because you stepped in for me last night when I had another...
I think you've done a good job in my speech, Madam Mayor. You're quite all right. No, it was a great night. If you want me to add it now, I could do it later on. As you said, 66 participants. I think there was about 11 from Melton. Mm. And they did. It was a really good night. Oh, I'm sure all the kids enjoyed the programme from what they were all saying. And we presented the graduation certificates on the night. As you say, Billy Meadows, he won basically the Players Player of the Year award for it, and he did a great job. Just very, very slightly pipped his compatriot there by one point. But fantastic programme, and I hope we keep supporting it. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner, and thank you for filling in for me last night. Young gentlemen, leaders of our future, fantastic effort. What would you like to, come up and make a presentation? Do you want...
Madam Mayor, councillors and council staff, the Witten Project is an initiative of the Western Bulldogs Football Club in partnership with local and regional councils, AFL Victoria, Netball Victoria, Victoria University and the Western Region Football League. The Witten Project is a unique educational program delivered over 7 months for young aspiring community leaders across Victoria's Western Region to develop life, civic and employability skills. This year, 66 young leaders participated in the program.
Madam Mayor, last night, 11 young leaders from the City of Melton proudly received their certificate of graduation from the Witten Project 2015. On behalf of the Western Bulldogs Football Club and the City of Melton young leaders, please accept this certificate of appreciation to Melton City Council for your generous support of the Witten Project in 2015.
I noticed there's a glaring omission now. The shades. Have you got it all
bad dad. Can the gallery please give these wonderful young people clarify, do I need another procedural motion or do I? So now, could I get my. Thank you, gentlemen. Could I get one of my councillors to move the procedural motion moving back?
I'm happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. A seconder?
Happy to seconder, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion's been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 5 now, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest, conflict of interest of any councillor. Nil. Adoption and confirmation of the previous minutes.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 8th of September 2015 and special meeting of council held on 15th of September 2015 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the adoption of these minutes?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Bentley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? Motion is carried. Thank you. Correspondence inwards. Now, we have one parliamentary letter, and I'm getting blind, so I can barely read it. Mr. Tory, is your eyesight better than mine?
I hope so, Madam Mayor. Okay, the letter is from Christian Porter, from the Parliamentary Secretary to the Prime Minister. Reads, Dear Mayor, thank you for your letter, dated 7th of July 2015 to the Prime Minister, the Honourable Tony Abbott, MP, regarding increased funding to the Roads to Recovery program. The Prime Minister has asked me to reply on his behalf. The Commonwealth recognises the significant infrastructure task faced by local governments to maintain and upgrade local roads. The Roads to Recovery program is helping the Commonwealth and local government deliver vital infrastructure to grow and strengthen our economy and deliver road safety and network improvements. The Commonwealth is committed to supporting local governments to provide the infrastructure and services that drive productivity. Local and regional roads are critical to the social and economic well-being of communities, particularly in regional Australia. You may also be interested in the Commonwealth Bridges Renewal Program. Round 2 is currently open with proposals closing the 31st of August, so they've already closed. This program will invite $300 million in Commonwealth funding into the repair will invest, sorry, $300 million in Commonwealth funding into the repair and replacement of local bridges. I thank you again for taking the time to inform us of your support for the program. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory, for that. Sorry. Okay, petitions and joint letters.
Madam Mayor, sorry, before we do that, can I move that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted?
I apologise, I was getting too excited. Thank you, Councillor Majlik. It's been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Guglielmi. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Guglielmi. All those in favour? The motion's been carried. Thank you. Now we'll get on to item 8, petitions and joint letters.
Councillor Magic.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I was trying to read how I'm going to read the surname, but I do have a petition in front of me, Madam Mayor, and it is a little bit of a lengthy one, so bear with me. To the attention of Melton City Council Engineering Department. Dear Sir, Madam, I am writing in reference to the upgrade of pedestrian crossing located at Lansfield Drive, Caroline Springs, Victoria 3023. As it is the only crossing located across from Southern Cross Grammar on Lansfield Drive, it is used by a large volume of pedestrians, including both parents and children of various ages at 7:30 a.m. to 8:45 a.m. and 2:30 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. from Monday to Friday on school days to access the footpath to Southern Cross Grammar and St. George Pricker Primary School. Due to parking restrictions and lack of general drop-off points, this is the only crossing to access the school at those times, which causes road/traffic and pedestrian safety issues with hundreds of near misses on a weekly basis. The crossing is only signed with an orange 20-kilometre speed hump warning and nothing else. Today, on the 20th of August, at approximately 8:30 a.m, I was a witness to a car travelling over the crossing while a grade 4 female student was trying to cross and unfortunately was struck by a vehicle. The incident was reported to the school. Due to lack of signage, the crossing being unmanned and of poor visibility due to the overflowing amount of traffic, I believe this was the cause of the incident. As stated previously, trying to cross the road at that particular section during those times is a risk and a hazard on a daily basis to both parents and children trying to access the school. A complaint has been lodged with the Melton City Council today to have this necessary upgrade on this stretch of the road and to resolve the matter in the best possible manner to ensure a safe traffic pedestrian environment. Attached are the following reference codes, car 3253831, signage for a pedestrian crossing, car 3253833, request a manned school crossing at this site. Luckily this time round it wasn't a fatality, but we cannot risk our children's safety in the future. Kind regards, Michael Johannimiak. I do apologise if I've mispronounced that, which is a parent at Southern Cross Grammar, Caroline Springs, and I do believe we have around about, looks like about probably 70 and, parents' names, the child years level and the parent's signature as well. While I'm up here, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the petition be received and that a staff report be prepared for the next ordinary meeting of council to be held on Tuesday the 10th of November 2015.
Councillor Magic has moved a motion. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
And the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Magic, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. We now move on to public question time. Oh, sorry. I've missed another one. Item 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
There is no, Madam Mayor.
Nil. Okay. Number 10, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The first question this evening is from Judith Ferry. Is Mrs. Ferry in the gallery?
No.
The question will be responded to in writing in accordance with the meeting procedure local law. The second question, excuse me, this evening is from Mr. Alex Jinks. Is Mr. Jinks present? No. Again, a written response will be provided in accordance with the local law provisions. Next question is from Mr. Mario Kasia, and Mr. Kasia is in the gallery. This is a rather lengthy question, if I might paraphrase it. Mr. Kasia writes, with respect to Melton Planning Scheme and the UGB and PSP, specifically PSP number 1080, Corroit, being currently drafted, and property in question being 402 Clark Road, Rockbank, adjacent to Caroline Springs, where there is significant existing infrastructure. Clark's Road, there are, in Clark's Road, there are 4 to 5 properties that are listed in the draft PSP 1080 to join up as one lot or in, oh sorry, that are proposed, I believe, in previous iterations to be a regional park. And Mr. Kasha is proposing a low cost or an affordable housing option to help foster first home ownership in particular. Generally, the purport of the question is basically urging council to advocate for this property to be appropriately shown within the PSP to enable that type of development to occur. Have I got that correct, Mr. Kasha?
Yeah, the 4 properties.
Yes. Yeah, the 4 to 5 properties collective. Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Kasha.
Okay. Mr. Les Stokes will make a response in relation to this at this point, and there will be a written response to this as well, Mario.
Thank you, Kel. Mr. Kasha, I understand the issues you are seeking to address are in relation to affordable housing for the community and the provision for local jobs, and I also understand that you are seeking to provide opportunities on your land in Clark Road through the development of the land to address these issues. As you know, the state government agency, the MPA, is undertaking a precinct structure plan of the Coroid area, which you referenced in your question. The plan will determine the development potential, if any, of your land, and I understand the plan is well advanced, and as you are aware, it's out on agency consultation at the moment, and Council will be providing a response to this consultation, and then in coming months there'll be a formal exhibition period for all interested parties to provide their views, and I'd again encourage you to be a part of that process as it goes forward. The question is,
is the council the one dated the 18th?
I'd have to check the exact date of the letter, but we received a letter advising us and other agencies got the same letter, but it's out for a 4-week period or a month period for consultation, but I'm not aware of the exact date.
Thank you, Mario.
Okay. The next question is from Michelle Mendez, who's in the gallery. Question reads: has money been allocated to council from the state or federal government for Melton Health? If so, when will the extension commence? Is council intending to extend the council offices into the current health services site adjacent to the current offices? If so, what was done with the funds allocated for leasing agreement in a new building in last year's budget? Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, will respond.
Thank you, Mr. Torian. Thank you, Michelle, for your question. The first part of your question is that there has not been any dollars allocated to council specifically. They've been allocated to Jerrawarra for a purpose-built, what's called an ambulatory care centre up at Barry's Road. That was from a state government, and that was the previous state government, and that money was $14 million. Allocated and is still allocated for that facility. The overall facility, it's worth noting, is around about $20 million, is my understanding, so the majority of the balance will be made up of other providers for that facility. The facility is planned to be constructed and completed by around mid-2017, is the plan, the latest update we've had from Jerrawarra and the state government, and is well in progress of design as we speak. Other parts of your question in relation to the Civic Centre offices or proposed offices are looking at designs currently and mainly concepts, and this site is one, and options for this site and other sites, but any decision on that would go to the council and would be an endorsed position of the council when that takes place. The other parts of your question is, and that is on the current site as well, taking in the old building on the corner. The other parts of your question is, there hasn't been funds allocated for leasing as such of facilities. I think what you may be talking about, and I could be wrong here, is there's been capital funds put aside by the council for construction of civic offices, and that is around about $7 million, and that is still available once a decision is made from the council. So hopefully I've answered your question, Michelle. Thank you. And we'll give you that in writing, of course. Thank you, Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Mr. Haney. Next question is from Andrula Tivana, who's in the gallery. Her first question reads, there have been numerous near misses at the entrance to the Riding for the Disabled Vic facility on Leakes Road, Rockbank, just down from the new Woodley Estate. The RDAV entrance is concealed, and on approach from either side, there is no indication that there is an entrance coming up, nor are there any slip lanes to allow for safe entry into the facility. Traffic along Leakes Road has increased substantially with the closure of the Mount Cottrell Road and Paynes Road crossovers on the Western Highway, and will increase even further as homes in Woodley become occupied. Woodley residents will have only Leakes Road to exit the estate and to gain access to either of the highways. Was a traffic report conducted prior to the granting of the permit for this facility? If not, why not? What does Council plan to do in order to keep the entrance safe and prevent any fatalities from occurring at this site, seeing they failed to address this issue at the permit stage? Liz Stokes, Acting General Manager, Planning and Development, will provide the response.
Thanks, Kel. This facility was not subject to a planning permit, but instead required a planning scheme amendment, which was approved as a ministerial amendment under Section 20, Part 2 of the Planning and Environment Act. An incorporated plan with conditions regulates the use and development of the land, and a traffic report was not required for the facility. Instead, it was considered that given the low traffic volume expected to be generated by the use, and that widening of the road shoulders at the site access was required to enable vehicles to turn into the site. Further, the same incorporated plan has a requirement that at the time of the duplication of Leakes Road, amended plans must be submitted to and approved by Vic Roads and the responsible authority, providing for vehicle access to the site, or revised vehicle access to the site. In terms of current concerns raised in your question, Council will review the current safety at the intersection. We're not aware of any incidents to date, but we'll also contact Melton Police to check if they have any data as part of that review.
Are you asking for a clarification?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the duplication of Leakes Road will occur at a point in time that traffic volume reaches approximately 20,000 vehicles a day is the general rule of thumb, which it is nowhere near that at the moment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Thank you.
Second question from Ms. Tivana this evening is, the coroner's report the council referred to when they advocated for the closure of crossovers at Mount Cottrell Road and Paynes Road in Rockbank also recommended that the crossovers at the Rockbank Caravan Park, the Rockbank Nursery and Troops Road also be closed. From Council's actions, it appears Council has selectively advocated for the targeted closure of specific crossovers and ignored others. Why has this targeted advocacy occurred? When will Council advocate for these further closures, or will they wait for more fatalities before taking any action? Again, Mr. Les Stokes will provide a response.
Yeah, thank you, Kel. The Western Freeway / Highway is a Vic Roads road. Council wrote to Vic Roads requesting the closure of all at-grade intersections along the Western Freeway. Requesting the safety at all at-grade intersections along the Western Freeway be reviewed in accordance with the coroner's recommendations. Council continues to advocate for the Western Highway upgrade to full freeway standard from Melton to Caroline Springs, and this includes all at-grade intersections, including the ones referenced in your question.
Thank you.
It's a matter to be determined by Vic Roads. We are advocating. I think that's what the answer said.
Please, the question's been asked and answered. Thank you.
Next question is from David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor asks, in accordance with the Melton Youth Strategy 2014 to 2017, youth unemployment is much higher in Melton than most other parts of Melbourne. The strategy identifies the need for council to help young people develop hands-on experience in hospitality settings through the establishment of youth cafe social enterprise projects. Given the strategy and its objective, is council prepared to support the prospect of a mobile coffee van initiative designed to provide young people, with a mechanism to develop and enhance specific skills whilst delivering an alternative pathway to future employment? Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. Tory, and David, again, thank you for your question. You're right, officers are working towards delivering many actions in our youth strategy, and there's many to deliver, so we continue to do that. I take on board your comment about the consideration of the van, and we'll discuss that with our youth team, if you like, and especially the ones that are involved in delivering those. But I think in saying that, it comes at some risk, not saying risk can't be mitigated. We'll also have discussions with our young people about other opportunities, but we'll stay in contact with you about that. So we'll be in touch. Thank you, David.
That completes public questions, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney, and thank you, Mr. Tory. Presentation of staff reports, item 11, 11.1.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block and accept officers' recommendation for items number 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.4, 11.5, 11.6, 11.8 and 11.14.
We have a motion before us that has been moved by Councillor Majlik to accept the recommendations as printed for the items that are going to be moved in block. Is there a seconder for that recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move to 11.7, General Local Law 2015, and it will be presented by Mr. Dan Hogan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Empowered by the Local Government Act 1989, a range of council powers and functions are administered through the General Local Law, providing for the peace, order and good government of the municipality and local community. Further, the local law is intended to prohibit, regulate and control activities, events, practices or behaviour in places so that no detriment is caused to the amenity of the neighbourhood, nor nuisance or danger to a person or their health and safety, nor detrimental effect to a person's property, nor impede free and safe movement by any person, and in particular a person with a disability. At Ordinary Council meeting 14 July 2015, Council directed that the necessary statutory procedures in accordance with Section 111 and Section 119 of the Local Government Act be commenced for the making of a new general local law. An invitation for any affected person to make a related submission under Section 223 of the Act was also directed. The predominant motivation for this direction was administrative in nature, as the current general local law has been in effect since 2005. And under Section 122 of the Act, is due to sunset in late October 2015. Consequently, Council has developed a new general local law for proposed adoption attached at Appendix 1, having observed all necessary statutory procedures to date. To help the community understand the changes, likely impact and assist in the development of public submissions, a community impact statement attached as Appendix 2 was developed as an explanatory document. Six submissions were received for the consideration of Council at Ordinary Council meeting 8 September 2015. Having fully considered each submission, Council moved a number of amendments be made to the then proposed General Local Law 2015. These changes have been included within the revised General Local Law attached. in order to ensure the format, appropriateness and enforceability of the provisions within the proposed general local law, Council engaged the services of local government specialist law firm Maddox. Maddox was fully briefed as to the community and Council requirements and issues requiring address. In summation, Madam Mayor, I commend the recommendation to Council.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Does any Council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the report?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this motion but ask that councillors support me in excluding on page 105 under 42K and remove the word preach. I feel that this word would perhaps alienate our Christian community, and I cannot in all good consciousness agree to including this word to remain in the local law. Okay. I believe that keeping the current terminology of the delivery of address encompasses the intent of the local law, and the same result would be achieved.
I just need some clarification. It was page 105, 42K. K. That's 106. Okay, so you want to take the word out of preach?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I believe that leaving the word to deliver an address encompasses the intent of the local law, and the same result is achieved.
Could I seek some clarification there? Is there an issue with deleting the word preach?
Not at all. It's completely at the discretion of Council.
And so this is GAMP. Okay, thank you. Does any other councillor have any further clarification? No, sorry. It's been moved with that slight deletion. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Again, noting on page 106 the word deletion of the word preach. All those in favour of moving this motion, adopting this motion, it's been moved unanimously, accepted unanimously. Thank you. Carried unanimously even. Sorry, I've been away too long. Okay, item 11.8 has been accepted in block. We now move on to 11.9, and this report will be presented by Mr. Dan Hogan.
Thank you again, Madam Mayor. Lease to CFA Tool and Vale, item 11.9. In 2011, the Country Fire Authority advised Council of their intention to expand the CFA facility located on Creamery Road, Tool and Vale, which would extend beyond the boundaries of their current lease with Council. The existing CFA building no longer complied with safety standards and was too small for the new generation of tankers and equipment required for firefighting. The current lease is situated on Crown land, to which Melbourne City Council are appointed as Committee of Management. In November 2013, Council issued a planning permit, PA 2013/4089, for alterations and additions to an existing fire station by constructing a new motor room, storage and communications area. This was intended to bring it up to contemporary standards expected at law and by the local community. In May 2014, the Department of Environment and Primary Industries issued a grant and purchase approval as required for release to the Country Fire Authority over part of the Tool and Vale Public Purposes Reserve for the purpose of Country Fire Authority and building and firefighting activities attached at Appendix 1. The attached Crown Land Reserves Act 1978 lease at Appendix 2 has now been finalised in accordance with the Deputy Grant and Purpose Approval between Melton City Council and the CFA to commence 13th of May 2014 for a period of 10 years. The backdating of the lease presents no legal issue and is a commonly accepted practice in commercial leases renegotiated between incumbent tenants and lessors. In summation, Madam Mayor, I commend the recommendation to Council.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Does any council seek further clarification in regards to item 11.9? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. The motion's been moved before us by Councillor Cugliari. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. We'll move on to item 11.10, the Draft Investment Attraction Strategy 2016-2019. And as you saw, the swift chair shuffle there.
No, it's me.
Oh, it's not. And it's Mr. Les Stokes to present. Sorry.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Floor is the next one.
Councillors, this report presents the Draft Investment Attraction Strategy 2016 to 2019 and the background report for endorsement and release to public comment. Councillors, the draft strategy is part of a suite of three documents which provide the context for the development and implementation for the strategic directions within the strategy. The action plan in Appendix 2 details the specific actions under each of the strategic priority areas as identified in the strategy. The third of the suite of documents is the background report in Appendix 3. Councillors, the investment attraction strategy is an essential part of sustainable economic development. Many benefits are realised through facilitating growth in our local economy, specifically by encouraging expansion of local businesses and to generate the flow of new investment capital from new businesses. To that end, councillors, the recommendation is as follows, that council endorse the draft investment attraction strategy 2016 to 2019 as presented in Appendix 1 and release the draft for public comment, and also that council note the draft investment attraction action plan and the background report for noting, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Does any councillor seek further clarification in regards to 11.10? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that, and in doing so, commend officers and staff for the extensive work that's taken to put this together.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion before us, councillors, moved by Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, the motion now has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Madgley. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried again unanimously. We're doing well tonight. Okay, now, 11.11, this makes me chuckle, House Rules, Housing Character Assessment and Design Guidelines, an exhibition of C169 to the Melton Planning Scheme. Laura Jo, is this a bit like the block? No.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is for Council to consider the adoption of House Rules, which is the Housing Character Assessment and Design Guidelines, and also the initiation of an appropriate planning scheme amendment to introduce the documents into the Melton Planning Scheme. Council engaged Planisphere, a consultant, in September 2014 to undertake the preparation of the Melton Housing Character Assessment and Design Guidelines. This project is an action from Council's Housing Diversity Strategy, House Smart, which was adopted by Council at the Ordinary Council meeting of May 27, 2014. And the current project before you builds on the assessment work that was undertaken as part of that strategy. The project involved an assessment of neighbourhood character in the established areas of the City of Melton and the preparation of design guidelines and recommendations for the incorporation of these design guidelines into the Melton Planning Scheme. Appendix 1, which is called Study Report and Recommendations, details the assessment and documents the character areas of the municipality as identified by the assessment, which is based on the area's development and the existing character of the area, as well as the current residential zones that apply. Appendix 2, Character Statements and Guidelines, contain detailed character statements and design guidelines to provide direction on the design and development of the residential areas based on the assessment work undertaken in the study report and recommendations as detailed in Appendix 1. A series of consultation methods were used in the development of the project, with community and key stakeholders kept informed at key stages and feedback also sought at key stages. This included information updates on Council's website, advertisements in local media, project bulletins, postcards at Council facilities, and a dedicated project website, in addition to the facilitation of a workshop and community drop-in sessions. The report before you also proposes a planning scheme amendment to introduce the documents into the Melton planning scheme. The amendment will introduce schedules to the residential zones to implement changes consistent with the design guidelines contained in Appendix 2. It will update the municipal strategic statement and local planning policy framework with a reference to apply a neighbourhood character overlay to special character areas at Brookfield Courts and Fullernvale to protect the landscape qualities of these areas. And the character statements and guidelines and the new schedules will be incorporated. That will be incorporated will only apply when a plan and permit application is triggered, and for example, in the instance of a new multi-dwelling development or where a permit is required for a single dwelling on a lot. In all other circumstances where a plan and permit is not required, the guidelines will form a reference document. It is therefore recommended that Council adopt House Rules, which includes the study report recommendations contained at Appendix 1 and the character statements and design guidelines at Appendix 2. They note the Housing Character Assessment and Design Guidelines Engagement Report, which is outlined in Appendix 3, and seek authorisation to prepare an appropriate planning scheme amendment, and on receipt of this authorisation, exhibit the amendment in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Sorry, I'm so used to calling her Laura Jo, I apologise. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion's been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. We now have before us 1112, the Amendment C170 to the Melton Planning Scheme Development Plan Overlay Review. And there has been a quick shuffle now, and it's going to be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the Development Plan Overlay, or DPO, currently applies to significant parts of the municipality, including much of what is commonly known as the Eastern Growth Corridor. In Melton's case, the DPO has traditionally been used as a planning tool to essentially coordinate the integrated use and development of new greenfield urban areas. The overlay currently contains 14 schedules relating to new towns and suburbs, residential and industrial estates, rural living areas, the tourist precinct and activity centres. However, in the new growth areas, the use of the DPO has almost entirely been replaced by the urban growth zone and its requirement for the preparation of precinct structure plans. So since the introduction of the DPO back in 1999, when the planning scheme was first approved, many of the areas to which it applies have been either fully or substantially developed. Further, with the passage of time, the requirements of some of the schedules have become outdated and in need of review. This is particularly the case with Melton East growth area, given that the area is now largely developed and there would seem no planning rationale to retain the DPO control across this area. So an internal review has therefore been conducted of the DPO, including the areas to which it applies and the schedules applying to each of those areas. And on the basis of this review, it's considered appropriate for Council to remove DPO areas as recommended in Appendix 1 of the report through an appropriate amendment to the Council's planning scheme. So it's therefore recommended, Madam Mayor, that Council 1 adopt the Melton Planning Scheme Development Plan Overlay Review of October 2015, to then seek authorisation to prepare an amendment, which will be known as C-170, from the Minister for Planning, and upon receipt of authorisation, exhibit the amendment in accordance with the requirements of the Planning and Environment Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I would move it, Madam Mayor, with recommendations as put.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The motion before Council has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. We'll now move on to 1113, the VEC Electoral Representation Review Preliminary Report, and it will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening the middle of the process in regard to the electoral representation review that's currently being undertaken by the Victorian Electoral Commission. As Council is already aware, the legislation, the Local Government Act 1989, requires that the Victorian Electoral Commission must conduct an electoral representation review of every municipality in the state of Victoria before every third general council election. The purpose of the review is to recommend an electoral structure that provides fair and equitable representation for the persons who are entitled to vote at a general election of any council. The matters considered by a review are the number of councillors and the electoral structure of the council, and whether the council should be unsubdivided or divided into wards, and if subdivided, the details of those wards. The Commission conducts all reviews on the basis of three main principles: ensuring the number of voters represented by each council is within 10% of the average number of voters per councillor for that municipality. Two, taking a consistent statewide approach to the total number of councils across the board. And three, ensuring communities of interest are as fairly represented as possible. Council previously considered the baseline data that was presented and put forward a submission to the Electoral Commission, which is tabled as Appendix 2, and this was done under the provision of providing two options for the committee to consider, one being a structure representative of the existing makeup, being seven councils elected from one three-council ward and two-council wards being maintained, an alternative being that it being stretching to nine councillors elected from one four-council ward, one three-council ward and one two-council ward. The outcome of that and the review period conducted by the Commission was that they tabled a report and released it on Wednesday, the 30th of September 2015. The report, in fact, detailed two options under consideration by the Commission to restructure the Melton City Council electoral model in order to provide fair and equitable representation to the voting population in two forms. The first option, we are presuming it's their preferred option, is a nine-councillor representation from one four-councillor ward, one three-councillor ward and one two-councillor ward, and the second option being 10 councillors elected from two four-councillor wards and one two-councillor ward. Option A most closely resembles the initial submission of council to the VEC, being its second preference, of course, in which we were proposing the existing seven structure but stretching it to the nine. Public responses to the preliminary report, which I said was tabled on the 30th of September, is only restricted to addressing the two models that have been set out in that report and are able to be made to the Victorian Electoral Commission by 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 28 October. Council may use this opportunity to advocate for a preferred model of those two options. It is clear that option A from the VEC model is the closest fit to Council's declared preference, and there is also an opportunity for Council to support any written submission it may put forward at a public hearing scheduled to be heard at 3:30 p.m. on Wednesday, 4th of November, in the Ballum Ballum Seminar Room at the Melton Library and Learning Hub, which of course is located in Mackenzie Street, Melton. With this information tabled before Council this evening, it is my recommendation to present to Council the following way forward, and is that Council 1, make a written submission in response to the Victorian Electoral Commission Preliminary Report 2015 Melton City Council Electoral Representation Review, advocating for the adoption of option A, being nine councillors elected from one four-council ward, one three-council ward and one two-council ward, and two, that Council support the written submission at the public hearing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a move for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation as put.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Bentley. Is there a seconder?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. The motion before Council has been moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. We'll move on to 1115, and it's planning application PA 2015/4807, use and development of the land for the purpose of earth and energy resourcing industry quarry processing plant at 408546 Hopkins Road and 1154 to 1198 Christie's Road, Truganina. And it's to be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The application in this case relates to land which is part of the Boral Deer Park quarry site, which is more particularly located on the north side of Riding Boundary Road opposite the existing quarry processing plant. The application essentially proposes to develop a new quarry processing plant on the subject site, which will eventually replace the existing plant that has operated on this site since the 1970s. The proposed plant will cover an area of about 25 hectares and include the following features: a number of crusher plant, primary, secondary and tertiary up to a height of 23.5 metres, blending and load-out processing plant to a height of about 17 metres, product stockpile areas of approximate heights of between 10 and 23 metres and the like. The proposed processing plant will have the same hours, was proposed to have the same hours of operation as the existing plant, which is permitted under the relevant work plan. This allows for continuous 24-hour-a-day operation, apart from between 11 p.m. Sunday and 6 a.m. on Monday. The application was required to be advertised, and a total of 379 objections were received. 378 of those objections were pro forma letters, which essentially acknowledged the quarry is an existing operation and also acknowledged the proposal effectively seeks to relocate part of the existing operation within the Boral site. The objection specifically requests that Council ensure the following. One, Boral must commit to only processing products from their Deer Park quarry and not accept materials from outside the quarry such as building material waste and concrete. And indicated that this should be a condition of the permit to operate. That Boral must commit to real-time monitoring of dust with latest technology laser dust monitoring and independent assessment of air quality. And that Boral must be given a date for the current facility to cease operations. And that the transitional time frame of 9 to 18 months suggested by Boral for processing, for the two processing plants to be operating, is considered to be unacceptable. Further, a submission was received from the City of Brimbank, which essentially supports a proposal. However, it seeks to ensure that the facility is operated a sufficient distance from residential uses in the City of Brimbank, having regard to the prevailing wind direction and local climatic conditions, that an environmental impact assessment and implementation report taking into consideration the cumulative impact of all on-site operations, including truck movements and road treatment, is prepared by an independent environmental auditor, and that ongoing monitoring of operations and regular updates by the independent environmental auditor is provided to the Boral Deer Park Community Liaison Committee. From an officer perspective, Madam Mayor, in essence, it's considered that Council needs to assess the proposal based on whether adequate controls have been put in place or can be put in place to ensure the proposed use and development will not result in unreasonable amenity impacts on the surrounding area. It's noted that the processing plant is located approximately 1.2 kilometres from the nearest residential dwelling and over 2 kilometres from the nearest established residential suburb on the east side of Robinson's Road. The application was referred to the EPA, who did not have any objection or concerns with the proposal. In regard to noise pollution, the EPA recommended a condition of permit requiring that noise emissions from the site must comply with the requirements of the relevant state environmental protection policy. In regards to dust pollution, the application has proposed dust control measures that will significantly reduce the amount of dust emissions presently generated by the existing quarry processing plant. The primary and tertiary processing stations will be contained within purpose-built buildings, installed with a dry extraction system, with external areas surfaced with a road base to reduce dust from truck movement. The objections commented that the proposed 9 to 18 months transition period was inappropriate. The comments appear based on a concern that both plants will be fully operational during that transition period. In regard to the transition period, it's considered that 12 months is a reasonable time frame to cease using the existing plant following the proposed plant becoming fully operational, and this can be and has been proposed to be covered as a permit condition. The objections also sought controls requiring the processing plant to only process products from the Deer Park quarry site and not accept materials from outside the quarry, such as building material, waste and concrete. The processing plant has no capacity or reason to process building material, waste or concrete. The application is not proposing any part of the site to be used to store or process such materials. It's not considered relevant where the material to be processed is sourced, provided amenity issues such as noise, air pollution, vehicle movement and the like are adequately managed. Conditions will be included in the permit to achieve the desirable amenity controls. However, no restriction on where quarry material is sourced is proposed by officers. Council officers have also taken into account changes to the planning legislation, which commenced yesterday, which require council and VCAT to consider the number of objections to a planning application in considering whether the proposal may have a significant social effect. As outlined in the report, the concerns from objectors have been considered as part of this report, and officers are satisfied that the proposal is unlikely to cause any significant social effects. It's therefore recommended that the application be supported as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor seek further clarification on this item? Councillor Magilic.
Madam Mayor, I have a question in regards to the objections, the list of objections from our 378 residents. In regards to page 644, at the top there it says, can Borrell guarantee that their land won't be used for landfill? How can we, in regards to this application, I guess what I'm hearing from the residents is saying that, well, Borrell is quarrying that land and crushing with this facility. What's the chances of Borrell then being able to then just fill up that quarried site with landfill?
For you, Madam Mayor, the application is specifically for a particular use, which is essentially the quarry processing plant. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not actually proposing as part of this application any quarrying of the site, and obviously that won't be occurring until that processing plant has ceased operation. My understanding is that they do have an existing permit for the quarrying of essentially the whole of the site, including this land. Any future use, such as the use of the quarried area, for example, for a landfill, would be subject to a further permit from the council.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Thank you, Councillor Magic. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Madam.
Are there any further questions?
in regards, or seek clarification in regards to this item?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I do have another question. So just to confirm, as at our presentation when we had with Borrell and also reading this report, I do believe that, and I have actually seen the current site, it is not enclosed, so it's out in the open. So according to this permit, they're actually, or their application of permit, they're actually wanting to enclose the actual rock crushing part of the of this permit. Like, they're actually wanting to enclose the whole thing. Is that correct?
For you, Madam Mayor, that's correct. The actual buildings themselves will be totally enclosed, if you like, to try to mitigate the dust issue relating to the use.
Sorry, councillors, will that also mitigate the noise component or assist?
To some extent. They're also proposing some earth bunding around the site to try to address the noise issue.
Excellent, thank you. Is there any further clarification in regards to 1115?
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I just wanted, reading through the actual issues that the both Bringbank City Council and also the petition, the 1-4, basically number 2 has basically been mitigated and number 3 has been mitigated with just a 12-month period of swap over. Mm-hmm. And also, number 3 in being that they can't just use the quarried land as landfill. And as I'm reading the report, the Bringbank City A, B and C, I do believe that those have also been mitigated. Can I just confirm that that is true and correct?
So most of the items of objection have been incorporated into...
The only issue which hasn't been is relates to the restriction on building material and concrete and the like.
Yeah. Okay. Do I dare ask, is there any further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move the motion. However, I do want to put the restriction that Borrell must commit to only processing, to not processing or not access material from outside the quarry, such as building material, waste and concrete, and that be included. As I read through, and bear with me, Madam Mayor, I know I'm kind of out of order at the moment, but as I read through the actual report, it does say that officers' comments are saying that the processing plant has no capability or reason to process building materials, waste or concrete. This application is not proposing any of the part of the site to be used to store or process such materials. So I'm just suggesting if we can add this as a condition to try and mitigate the issues that our residents have and our residents have our concern. I believe adding this into the conditions of the permit will show that Borrell are willing to be good stewards and gain some trust back with the community, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Could I seek some guidance from Mr. Badger?
Through you, Madam Mayor. It's at the discretion of the council as to whether they impose that condition. And if I can maybe suggest some wording.
Yeah,
for that
absolutely.
Condition, to the effect that no processing of building material, waste, concrete or the like shall be permitted from the site, something to that effect.
Or from outside sources as well, Bob. Sorry, Mr. Baggio.
From the site.
Okay, so could I have those words again,
please? Yep. So in effect, Madam Mayor, no processing of building material, waste, concrete or the like shall be permitted from the site. So that means there can't be any processing of those materials on the site.
Sorry, does that exclude from external sources? Okay, yeah, I'm happy with that.
Okay, so we have the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik with that additional condition. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's been carried. Thank you. We now move on to 1116, planning application PA 2015/4855, change of use of an existing warehouse building to an indoor swimming pool at 31 Ukenbeen Drive, Ravenhall. Mr. Baggio to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
So the subject site in this case is an existing vacant warehouse of about 279 square metres that forms part of a much larger commercial industrial complex which is located on the eastern side of Ukenbeen Drive in Ravenhall. The complex is provided with a total of 523 car parking spaces, with four car parking spaces specifically allocated to this particular tenancy. So the application in this case seeks to use the site for the purpose of a swim school. So details of the use are basically as follows. Two swim instructors will each conduct classes for a maximum of four students. Students will be accompanied by an adult at all times. Lessons will be 30 minutes in duration and will run consecutively between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. on a daily basis. And staff numbers will be limited to two swim instructors, one of which will also be the premises manager. So the application was required to be advertised. Seven objections were originally received, however, one of the objections was subsequently withdrawn, so six objections have been received to the application. Grounds of objection are basically summarised as insufficient on-site car parking, particularly in the afternoon, during karate classes held at one of the tenancies within the warehouse complex, and safety concerns relating to increased traffic congestion and access to the site. Should also be noted that the applicant has recently, I think it might have been yesterday, submitted six letters of support from tenants of premises within the general area. So obviously the main issue with this application is the adequacy of car parking for the use. Although the overall floor area for the tenancy is 279 square metres, the applicable site area is considered to be limited to the area of the actual swimming pool and the immediate surrounds, as this is the area that will generate the most demand. The site area of the swimming pool and the immediate surrounding area is approximately 100 square metres. As such, the car park demand is calculated by officers to be in the range of six car parking spaces for the proposed use. So four have been provided, so therefore there's a technical shortfall of two car parking spaces. However, it's considered that given the ample parking provided throughout the industrial estate, including close by to this particular premises, and the proposed conditions of the permit, the reduction in car parking is considered reasonable in this instance. It's therefore recommended that the application be supported as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any council seek further clarification? Could I think I will ask a question here. In regards to the deficit of two car bays, but with the main objection being lack of car parking, the hours of operation, does that clash with... does that overlay with the times that the other warehousings will be in full operation? Therefore, will there be an overload of cars strewing onto areas that could create accidents, or are they, do they work in complement of one another and seem to be the hours of operation for the swimming school be in hours when others are closed?
Through you, Madam Mayor, there is potential for a little bit of overlap, particularly in the late afternoons, that 4 to 5 p.m. sort of period. However, there's so much car parking in the complex, it just means that rather than necessarily being able to park directly in front of the premises, okay, you might have to walk 20 metres.
No, that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Badger. And I will ask again, is there any other clarification? No. Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to accept the recommendation and move the motion as put.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion before Council has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillors, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay, we'll now move on to 1117, Amendment C161 to the Melton Planning Scheme, Payne's Road Precinct Structure Plan, and it will be reported to by Laura Jo Mellon. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is for Council to consider the provision of a letter to support the Metropolitan Planning Authority for Amendment C161, which is the Payne's Road Precinct Structure Plan, to be approved by the Minister for Planning under Section 20, Part 4 of the Plan and Environment Act. The Metropolitan Planning Authority released Amendment C161 to introduce Payne's Road Precinct Structure Plan into the Melton Planning Scheme. The area covers approximately 199 hectares and is bound by the Western Freeway to the north, Payne's Road to the east, Mount Cottrell Road to the west, and the Melbourne to Ballarat Rail Corridor to the south. The amendment was out for public comment by the MPA from the 1st of July 2015 to the 3rd of August 2015. Melton City Council was granted an extension to the 14th of August to allow the submission to be reported to the 11th of August Ordinary Council meeting. At the Ordinary Council meeting of the 11th of August 2015, Council endorsed C161, Payne's Road Precinct Structure Plan, submission by Melton City Council, which is contained in Appendix 1, and it was submitted to the MPA for consideration. The MPA received 10 submissions on the proposed amendment documentation, including the submission of Melton City Council, and the MPA have advised council officers that they consider they have resolved all the issues raised in these submissions, with the exception of a number of outstanding matters raised by Melton City Council, which are detailed in Appendix 2, and Public Transport Victoria. These issues are still to be resolved, but are subject to ongoing discussions between officers. Since lodging this submission, council officers have had a number of meetings and discussions with the MPA regarding the issues raised in the submission, and it is considered a number of the matters have been resolved, and officers are continuing to work through the outstanding issues with other state agencies and the MPA as appropriate. Council officers consider that it would be appropriate to try and resolve the outstanding issues through discussions with the MPA and other relevant agencies to reach an agreed outcome on the outstanding matters, rather than proceed to a planning panel. In this context, it's recommended that Council provide conditional support to provide to the MPA for a ministerial amendment under Section 20, Part 4 of the Planning and Environment Act, subject to the following issues being resolved. We require some clear direction from state government, specifically PTV, on agreed noise attenuation requirements, including the management, maintenance and funding of any required assets along the Melbourne to Ballarat Rail Corridor. We would like the MPA to organise meetings with Melton City Council and VicRoads to work through design options and triggers for interim and ultimate works at the Payne's Road and Mount Cottrell intersections with the Western Highway, and also address all other outstanding matters as identified in the MPA response table contained in Council submission, which is in Appendix 2. It is therefore recommended that Council write a letter to the Metropolitan Planning Authority for the conditional support of a ministerial amendment under Section 20, Part 4 of the Planning and Environment Act, subject to the issues outlined in the report being resolved and to the satisfaction of the General Manager of Planning and Development.
Thank you very, very much, Laura Germill. Councillors, does any Council seek further clarification of this item? Is there a mover and a seconder?
I'm happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
Happy to move, Madam Mayor.
You weren't quick enough, Councillor Turner. Okay, the motion before us, before Council has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. We'll now move on to 1118, the UNESCO Second International Conference of Learning Cities, Mexico City 2015. This part will be presented by Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this report is presented to Council to advise of attendance at the UNESCO Second International Conference on Learning Cities held in Mexico City from 28th to the 30th of September. Council approved the Mayor, myself, and the Lifelong Learning Coordinator attending this conference, and attendees have now returned, and subsequently the reports will flow, the reports by myself and the Mayor to the Council and the Lifelong Learning Coordinator to the Melton Learning Board. I guess in the outset, it's important to note that Melton City Council played a significant role in the activities at the conference with Peter Blunden, our Lifelong Learning Coordinator, being both a presenter at the conference as well as a session reporter and administratively supporting the drafting committee for the development of the UNESCO Statement on Sustainable Learning Cities. The Mayor, Councillor Ramsey, also had the honour of being appointed to the significant role of chairperson of the conference statement drafting committee, and no doubt the Mayor will further refer to this during her report. The conference was attended by in excess of 700 delegates representing over 90 countries. Melton City was one of 12 case studies of learning cities featured in the publication entitled Unlocking the Potential of Urban Communities, produced by the UNESCO Institute of Lifelong Learning. At the conference, each of the 12 cities featuring in that publication were awarded the UNESCO Learning City Award 2015, the first of these awards to be presented, and they were endorsed by the conference to be an ongoing feature of future conferences. I have attached at Appendix 1, Councillor, a summary report of the conference, and in particular I'd like to draw your attention to the section entitled Key Learnings from the Conference. During the conduct of the conference, there were a number of presentations that were of specific relevance and interest to a city such as Melton City Council. In the opening session, there was a very interesting presentation given by Mr. Giles Lipovetsky, who's a French philosopher and author, which focused on the established framework from the first International Learning Cities Conference held in Beijing, and from his assessment, he believed the missing or underemphasized element within the framework was the importance of the arts and culture to the development of a learning community. When reflecting on this and the Melton Learning Plan, I believe that it is an element that is not adequately picked up through our learning plan, although it could be considered to be brought in under the culture theme identified in the Community Learning Board's mission. It is, I believe, an area that we can provide further emphasis on, and to this end, further discussions are intended to be held with the Learning Board and the Community Planning Unit of Council with respect to how we take that further forward. There's also a presentation by the Mayor of the City of Balanga in the Philippines, where he spoke at some length about the importance of parenting to children gaining an early appreciation of the importance of education. This in some ways mirrors or reflects Council's approach through the Early Years Program, particularly its Best Start Program, and the Growing Children Program funded under the Medicare Local Funding Program. The City of Balanga have had some 8,000 parents participate in their parent education program, and it was really quite interesting how they put that together. They also ran a second program where it was a leadership management program that aimed to upskill community leaders who ran the large number of not-for-profit committees, clubs, sporting associations, etc. within their community. And they have put some 500 identified community leaders through that program. Whilst these concepts have to some degree been taken up at Melton, I believe there is an opportunity to further expand on this through programs that we already have, and there will be further work done in this regard. The Mayor of the City of Dublin also spoke about some interesting programs they had, and one of them was a Mayoral Education Awards program that recognised students and community members who had risen above limitations or the norm and had displayed great determination and resourcefulness to achieve at a high level. She also spoke at some length about their annual Youth Mayor competition, which was a bit of a variation on a number of youth council themes that run across local governments. And this was where there was a competition run and a youth mayor elected who was then mentored by the mayor through their year. And it was quite an interesting youth engagement program. Also, since returning on Friday of last week, I met with Toby Kent, who's the project officer for the Resilient Melbourne project, which is a project funded by the Rockefeller Foundation under the 100 Resilient Cities program, and 29 out of the 32 metropolitan municipalities are participating in that project. Because it struck me at the conference that there were striking similarities between what the Resilient Melbourne project seeks to achieve and the key themes of learning communities. And that has been raised with Mr. Kent, and we will be pursuing that through some of the workshops that are upcoming in relation to the Resilient Melbourne project. Those elements really are around a stronger society, a better connected society, and a competitive metropolis with a healthy environment that's fully integrated with its plans and actions. So it very much reflects many of the presentations that were given at the conference. At the end of my report, I do detail the costs. The costs are estimates at this stage, as not all invoices have come through with the actual exchange rates that have been applied by the financial institutions, but based on the average exchange rate, the indicative costs per participant were $4,378, as detailed in my report, and the amount that was advised to council when they were approving the participation was an estimated cost of $4,450 per person, or per attendee, sorry. So, councillors, I believe it was an excellent conference. It was very valuable. There were lots of learnings from it. There will be a number of them implemented at Melton over the coming period of time, and particularly through the work of our learning board, which this will further leverage. So the recommendation is simply that the report be noted and the Chief Executive further pursue identified opportunities to enhance Council's direction as a learning community. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Does any Council seek further clarification from Mr. Torrey? Or in regards to the recommendation before us? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation. It's great to see that this council is being recognised worldwide by what we do currently for our early learning and also as a learning community. I believe it was a small cost and for a large investment. I mean, how do you put money on something that can benefit children in better learning within our community? I think that's priceless. I would just want to point out, is there any chance, and sorry, Madam Mayor, this is my pedanticness coming through, page 712, I believe the last two sentences are actually the start of the following page, so if we could exclude that. Sorry, Madam Mayor, that I had to end it in that way, but I want to commend our our council officer and also our two leaders of this council and representatives of this community actually attending this and then implementing that into our strategy to better facilitate our programs that we deliver for our residents and our children.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion's been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that motion, Madam Mayor, and again reiterate the words of my fellow councillor.
The motion before council has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried unanimously. All I wanted to see was that next time the delegates never go in cattle class ever again. Sorry. But that wasn't there, so don't be alarmed. Okay. The next item on our agenda. Sorry, I've lost my place now. Reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. Now, who would like to commence? Councillor Majlik would like
to commence. Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm just going to be very short. There was only one committee for me. It was the Disability Advisory Committee, and we spoke about the upcoming Care Melton Expo, which is happening this Thursday, so two more sleeps, here at the Community Hall, and let's hope for some great weather like what we've had today. It's a great way to celebrate and support our carers and our residents who live with a disability. We also spoke about the Melton Go Respite program and the terrific things that this council is doing for our young residents in the way of respite. This program is growing in popularity and with our residents who have children and young adults who live with a disability. And we also spoke about the upcoming development of 5 Mackenzie Street and the much-needed facilities for our aged residents and those living with a disability. The plans were quite exciting for our committee, and we can't wait for the development to get up and going. And I do believe that it is, at this point, scheduled to be completed in 2017, if I'm correct, roughly, approximately. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
You're getting hope. Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Councillor Cugliari.
I had no committees this month, thank you.
Thank you, love. Councillor Bentley, as always,
for the last time, hopefully, Madam Mayor, I'm not appointed to any delegates.
Thank you. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 9th of September, I attended the Youth Council, where the guest presenter that night, Lorraine Nguyenia. Hope I got that right.
Sorry, what was that?
You just want me to say it twice, don't you? Lorraine Nguyenia. That's the best I can do with it. She represents Youthful Link, and she came to give the youth a talk on basically connecting youth together through different projects. And it was a very interesting talk. Part of the discussions on the night was what happened to the Mayor's Ball, of course. Couldn't get past without comment. Everybody had a great night. And then the Gerra Water Festival and the plans by the Youth Services for Gerra Water Festival. They'll be locating a couple of tents down by the skate park as usual. And one will have a DJ and they'll have a breakout tent for the youth as well. On the 28th of the 9th, I attended the Arts Advisory Committee. And there was much discussion regarding CS Gallery Artists and Resident Programme, which Council is implementing, and basically going through how it was going to be run and all the rest. But that will all be come out in the media very shortly. Also discussed the VCA Art Show and also Performing Arts Programme and drama classes for ages 5 to 11. So on the 8th of October, the Metropolitan Waste Management had a special forum on where the Honourable Minister of Environment, Climate Change for Water, Lisa Neville, and she basically gave an overview of some of the plans of the Andrews government. Said they were focused on maximising avoidance of resource recovery, use of landfill only to dispose of materials which can't be viably reused or recovered, support the waste industry and create new jobs. Discussion was held on the evening regarding the community impact by landfill, such as at Ravenhall. and the State Waste and Resource Recovery Infrastructure Plan has identified that the site being an essential long-term landfill site for Melbourne. There's more to say. If anybody would like some more information on that, they can come and see me after the meeting. Just a couple of things that's happening through recycling and waste. The Free Green Waste again is coming up in November. I missed it last year. Hope I can remember this year. Yeah, there'll be Free Green Waste for all residents of Melton during the month of November. So if you've passed it on through your networks.
No one's going to miss it this year.
It will also be on the website and it will be in the local media. And just a reminder about a few other things, the National Recycling Week's coming up on the 4th of November. We have a car boot sale on the 15th of November. Also, don't forget the Super Saturdays, which is the last Saturday of every month. It's freebie day at the resale centre at Ferris Road, so you can bring stuff down, you can take stuff away free. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I'll go really quickly because, as everybody knows, I've probably got 2 months of council meetings to report to, so I'll just quickly fly through the ones that we've gone, and I'll list them. So if anyone wants reports or any updates, please don't hesitate to contact me, as always. The strategic, and Bob's, Councillor Turner's probably reported to these, and so has Councillor Majlik to others. The Strategic Health Forum met, the Western Base met twice in the last 2 months. The Early Years Partnership has met, the Audit Committee has met, Roads to Zero has met, Community Learning Board has met and will meet again shortly to talk about the wonderful things at UNESCO. The PDAC, Property Development Advisory Committee, met. The CEO Review Committee met and also the Community Safety Committee met. In amongst all those, they happened over the last couple of months and there's wonderful strategies attached to each and every one of them. At the moment, October is Community Safety Month, and you'll see from the next part of our reporting the number of events we're attending to be mindful of violence against women and violence, family and domestic violence, and stopping these issues happening in our community. So I'll just leave it for that because I've got quite a bit to report in the next bit. Oh, I can report about UNESCO here. Oh, sorry, I'm standing up again now. Can I sit to do this? Is that all right, please?
Yes.
I have got the leave of council. They're all very giving. Okay, where do I start, councillors? In regards to UNESCO conference, I have been totally overwhelmed by the experience. When I say that, is Melton's position in community learning. Now, Kel and I will debate this because I've got, it's the sixth learning plan. Have I included the one that's about to be launched next week? Okay, so we'll just double check on that. But when I presented to the Mayor of Mexico, Council has been in supporting the Community Learning Board since 1998. We have developed 6 learning plans, and in the city of Beijing, 2.5 years ago, Melton was a delegate, and from that delegation through Peter Blunden, our Community Learnings Officer, we took the learnings away from that and put those foundations and cornerstones into our, and we embedded that into our learning plan. And what that has told me is Melton are streets above everywhere else. And we should be on the front page of not only the Leader and the Star, but the Herald Sun for some of the strides we've made in. And I'm not talking about formal learning here, I'm talking about lifelong learning and community education. Some of the projects that Melton held through the Community Learning Board and were partners within. Now, I'm still going to get this wrong, Kel. It's building No, the one with Melton in the title. Building Melton Together was a pilot initiative from the Community Learning Board teamed with Melton Council, where 70 apprentices and trainees worked with industry and were given jobs. And these are the sort of things we highlighted in Mexico. When we arrived at Mexico, I was overwhelmed again that 800 plus delegates, and there's the number varies for between 700 and 900 depending on who you're talking to at a particular date. But I'll say when I read out the statement at the end of the conference, it was 850 delegates from around the world, from 85 different countries, representatives from the political space, business acumens. We had water bodies there, we had Apple, we had Microsoft. They were all represented. We had presidents, we had vice presidents, we had mayors, we had people that, I mean, it just blew my mind the amount of intellectual capacity that was in that room at any one time. I was honoured, and I must give this to Mr. Peter Blunden, I was honoured as to be elected as the chair of the working party to deliver the statement by the whole of the delegation, and I was easily identifiable because I think I was the only blonde there. So everybody knew me as the chair, and when it came to reading the statement for UNESCO, at the end of the conference, we worked tirelessly for the next 2 days to get that statement up and running. But what it showed me was a passion for learning, a passion for community learning. And I sat there with pride on the first day, and so did Mr. Tory when Peter Blunden got on centre stage and was part of a panel. And what I took away from that is not only is Melton ahead, but the collective impact assessment tool that Melton, through the Community Learning Board and through our educators within the Community Learning Board, have devised, such as Mr. Peter Blunden, Shanti Wong and Leonie Wheeler, is going to be available towards the end of this year, if not early next year. And what will happen is that'll be given out to any delegate from within the conference of UNESCO that wants it, to be able to do that assessment tool and to have a uniform platform which all these educational learning, community learnings can be judged against. It was something that blew my mind. And then there were 25 mayors that met with the mayor of Mexico, and we put forward what was good about our community learnings and what we could learn from each other. And in just briefly, I want to, can I have everybody's indulgence and just give you a small sense of what I said to the mayors at that conference, because it's been recorded and we were highlighted, and I was chased around the building by a number of delegates from Mexico wanting to become sister cities. So I can fully understand how when Kathy went to China 2 years ago, at her own expense, might I add, she came back with so many people interested in getting on becoming sister cities with Melton, because we're leading the pack on a number of issues, and it is so great to see. And we don't get a lot of positive media as a result of that. And when you see a collective assessment tool being engineered from our community learning board, when you've had 17 years of community learning plans in the mix, and we're not just babies in this game, we're fully fledged and we're leaders in the pack. Can I tell you, there were representatives from Perth, from Sydney, from Canberra, from Wyndham there, as well as Melton, at that conference, and they were so envious that the city of Melton was on the main stage. And I wasn't. I was sitting there doing high fives.
I was just so grateful we were being recognised for something other than some of the negatives that always seem to be the naysayers. Will you shut me up, Cal, or will I keep going? What can I tell you? I'll read you the first part of the statement that I had to read to 800 delegates. I'll read you the bits I read to the mayors. The bits I read to the mayors was, Melton Community Learning Plan is the sixth learning plan since our first publication in 1998. Melton City is the first local government in Australia to develop a city learning plan, and our current plan is also the first where Melton has identified itself as a learning city and has aligned itself with the UNESCO framework. We share the UNESCO goals of individual empowerment, social cohesion, economic development, cultural prosperity and sustainable development. These are embedded in the mission of our Community Learning Board and clearly apparent in our Community Learning Plan. And Council has endorsed that, has allowed our advisory body, which is the Community Learning Board, to be able to develop to such a degree. And so from the bottom of my heart, so I say thank you to this council for giving them the flexibility to move forward and do some absolutely sensational things. The speech goes on and I could read it, but I won't bore everybody because I'm so enthusiastic about it. It's not funny. At the end of the day, whilst the other 25 mayors were off having lunch and tequila with the mayor of Mexico, I was dragged away to have more in-depth discussions in regards to the working party and the statement that was to be read. At the 11th hour, I got the statement in my hot little hand. In fact, I started reading the wrong one on file, you know, because they hadn't quite finished it. And then they gave me this one and it says, the ministers, the vice ministers, the mayors, the vice mayors, the education executives, the education experts, the representatives of UN nations, the private sector, the regional, the international, the civic society organisations from 85 countries have gathered in Mexico. And then it goes on to say, we meet at a critical moment in the progress of safeguarding world peace and human rights and creating a global sustainable development agenda. So we're mixing the human rights component with their right for education. At the recent, I still can't get my head around the fact that the City of Melton Mayor read this at a UNESCO conference. At the recent United Nations Sustainable Development Summit, the members of the state agreed on 17 sustainable development goals that would shape the next 15 years of human development and rights. The delegation expressed its wholehearted support for the SDGs, but in particular SDG 4 and SDG 4 is ensuring inclusive and equitable quality education and promoting lifelong opportunities for all. And SDG 11 was making cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient and sustainable. I can go on and tell you what was good about it, what wasn't great about it. And at the end of the day, Kel's right, we've still got things to learn and we can still be learning from other cultures because as Australia's a lucky country, we have all the newest mod cons and everything, but there are countries like Korea that are leading the charge as far as the stats go for education because they understand what community learning and empowering their children and their families is all about. So there's still a lot of learning we can do and we can exchange knowledge and we can learn from our peers. And what I got out of this whole experience is Melton's not alone in this. We're leaders in the pack, yes. We were awarded one of the first awards that was given out, and it was such a blessing and a pleasure to be part of Melton during this occasion. And I can't thank the council enough for sending me because it enlightened me to a lot more. And I'm the chair of the Community Learning Board, and I'm just going to go in there and kiss their feet next week because that was absolutely sensational. Again, I purely believe that, what can I say to you? Every chance we get to learn, to develop, we should take it. There is a lot that can be achieved, and I cannot thank Mr. Blunden and his beautiful wife enough for their assistance during the Mexico conference either. So I want to put that on the record. If anyone wants any further information or wants to talk to me about it, I'm only too glad to sing the praises, but I think we should be ringing the Herald Sun and telling them how wonderful we are, because we need to sell that message. Thank you. I'll shut up now. Okay. Now, having said that, what do I need to do? Okay, I need now to get someone to move the recommendation on page 719. Okay, that the record of assembly...
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I was just enthralled by your speech. I got lost as well. I'd like to move that the record of assembly of council is attached to this agenda dated 15th of September, 22nd of September, 29th of September and 6th of October 2015 be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Magic. The motion's been moved by Councillor Magic. Is there a seconder?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Councillor Bentley, sorry, I didn't look around closely. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Magic, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's been carried. Thank you. Now we will go on to the public address by each councillor, and I will start again with Councillor Magic.
Madam Mayor, I'll be very quick. I attended the Collingwood and the Caroline Springs Club check presentation, and the checks were presented to a few of our community groups. It was great and wonderful to see so many new initiatives and projects and the great ideas, and it's great to see that they received some financial support from the grant committee. I'd like to thank the Collingwood Football Club and also the Caroline Springs Club for their continual support to our local community groups. I believe it was around the order of $70,000, and they've also got supplementary grants coming up as well. And also I'd like to just say a big thank you to our carers. It's Carer Week this week, so back at the Expo, 2 days. Hopefully we'll see some of our residents there. It's great. It's a fantastic Expo. The envy of the Western the Western Councils, that's for sure. I know that for a fact. And, I would like to just extend a great thank you to our carers who have the privilege of caring for someone with a disability in our community. It's a great and wonderful task that comes with its challenges as much as its rewards. So if anyone here is a carer, hope you enjoy yourself this week, and you can probably get in contact with some of the community things that are happening in and around the state as well. So thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Magley. Councillor Gary.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to highlight the great day at Tabcorp Park on Sunday, organised by the Spring Hills Football Club. Well over 1,000 people attended, which included players, parents, volunteers, councillors and our Mayor and our Member of Parliament, Natalie Hutchins. The day involved various fun activities for the kids and trophy presentations to the players. And I was amazed to hear the number of female members, 117 out of 556, enjoying that game at soccer. I've also got here, Madam Mayor, I just might take this opportunity that they presented the City of Melton also a trophy in appreciation to, I need to get new glasses, I think, in appreciation to Melton City Council for their support to Spring Hills Stallions Football Club 2015. Also, Madam Mayor, something that Councillor Majorlik has brought up is the making people aware of that the Club Caroline Springs Supplementary Grants Program is a new category of funding and is open and available to established community service organisations and agency within the City of Melton, and they close on the 31st of October, and I encourage organisations and agencies to apply. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Much appreciated. That's in two parts too, so be
yep,
careful.
So you've got to be very careful.
You're good. Thank you. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This month, I've had a long-standing invitation from Parkrun Toolan. Ever since I was a councillor, they invited me to come along and go, and the weather's been warming up, and I've found out. So a couple of weeks ago on the Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, I went down and I joined them. And there's a nice 5K run from Bridge Road down to Strathtuller and back again. And it was a great experience, and I just wanted to commend the volunteers who do this. They're a great bunch of people there who are committed to the fitness of people in our city. There's quite a few volunteers, but each week they swap and change around, and they encourage people to come down on a Saturday morning. It is early, it's 8 o'clock, and generally designed for a run, most people would think, but they encourage everybody to come along, no matter how old you are, how quickly you walk it, get out there and get some fitness. And they've got great initiative as well. They time you if you want to be timed, but on the other end, they have somebody they call the last walker, who walks along and makes sure that everybody does the 5Ks and gets back safely. So if anybody wants a bit of fitness, get some fresh air, while this weather's warming up, Saturday morning, Bridge Road, I encourage them all to get down there. And I was thinking, just while there, you run out, you get some great scenery, and it reminds me how lucky we are to live in this beautiful city. We've got so much great environment that we should get out there and look at such things as Navan Park, the Botanic Garden, but that Toolan Creek along there, it's a great walk. Get out there and enjoy it, and enjoy this city we live in. We also attended the mayoral ball this month, and I just wanted to say it was a fantastic evening, Madam Mayor. You did an excellent job at putting that together.
Thank you. Well, it wasn't me.
I'd like to, unfortunately, put on the record and apologise for my father's comments that you'd kill a rock.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. I'm all for you. Thank you.
So, and just to finalise as well, the council was provided with an appreciation award from Kids Teaching Kids for thanking them for the support in the Kids Teaching Kids programs. It's one thing for an adult to tell kids what to do, but for another kid to get up there and stand out and help another kid is a fantastic thing. So it's a great initiative that we're supporting. So I'd just like to present this to you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. You've completed yours, Councillor Bentley?
Oh, yes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, dear. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Bentley. The park run, it will be a park walk when I do it. I've been promising myself for about 9 months, so I haven't got there yet. One of these Saturday mornings, I'll find my way there. But never mind, we'll get there one day. Anyway, just council run events for the month. I think it's just good to highlight some of the events we've been involved in for the month and just let the community see just how much council is actually doing with events. I'll just run through them quickly because there's quite a few. On the 11th of the 9th, it was at the Community Hall for the Children's Drama Performance, end of year production. It was a great night. Well, it only went for about an hour. It was a long night. Now, but Ruby Greengrove actually put it together, and she's left now. So thank her for all her work she's done. But yeah, it was a really good night with the young ones from about, I think the youngest must have been about 5 up to about 9.
And you really have to thank Dominique for completing Ruby's task.
Yeah, but Ruby put it in training. I actually thanked Dominique on the night and she said, no, it's go thank Ruby, don't thank me. Okay. So she'll get plenty of thanks because she's doing a great job. Citizenship ceremony, of course, on the 14th of the 9th. On the 17th was your... No, no, I've got the 17th of the 9th. It was the 25th, your mayor's ball, wasn't
it? No, it was the 17th. You were right the first time.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's all in my brain, never mind. On the 24th, we had the presentation night at Caroline Springs, and two witnesses. On the 23rd and the 30th, we had an invitation to get activated run by Trudy Martin's team, and a special word for Margaret Serafa and our team. They did a great job, as usual, both in Caroline Springs and in Melton. And it's the same every year. She loses her voice every year. She can't talk by the end of the day. We had the drop-in sessions at Moving Melton at the Library Hub. And down at Bridge Road on the 16th, we had the launch of Melton's Community Partnership Programme. I think that's the second year we've run it. I'm not sure how many groups, something like 13 groups. I took a great interest in the singing one. Yeah, but the singing one, I was speaking to the guys about it, and I think they're looking for, see, there's 6 or 8 different ethnic groups from the community, and they're going to get each of them to sing a song, and they're going to all sing a song together as well. So that'll be interesting to see how that turns out. I'm not sure if they're going to sing it in their own language, though. On the 2nd of the 10th, Dan Cunningham did a great job as usual with the seniors dance with Tony Pantino there on the night. And a special thanks to the Friends of Botanical Gardens who did all the table dressings and did a bit of an ulterior motive. The raffle was their raffle for the night. And I think was this, I can't remember how much. John, how much did you write on the night?
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was a great night. On the 12th, yesterday, it was a safer city down at our new corner, the corner at McKinsey, and we were promoting Community Safety Month and also Responsible Gambling. That was the council events for the month that I attended, but there was a lot of external stuff as well. Friends Botanical Gardens run a special night at the library, which was a forum at Leran Harp on horticultural, excuse my language, Royal Botanic Garden, Victoria. John Arnott, I think he was a manager from there, he turned up on the night and gave a great talk on plant conservation. On Saturday the 12th, I attended the Onam Cultural Festival in St. Albans. It's always a great day. It's the third year I've been there. Food's beautiful. All the nice Indian food. On the 19th and the 9th, oh no, that was Bunnings, I can't speak about that. The 25th and the 9th, official opening, refurbishing the Melton Bowls. Unfortunately, Madam Mayor couldn't be there to open it on the night, but she did attend earlier in the week with our CEO. It was a fantastic night. If you get a chance, go and have a look at the new refurbished Melton Bowls Club. 160,000 donated by council, and the club itself put in 90,000, and they've done a great job with their extension. Sunday the 27th, they went to the Wyndham Eid Festival, which is a multicultural Muslim multinational Eid festival. I only went there for a couple of hours because I had other things on, but it was a beautiful day. The 5th of the 10th, Partners of Vietnam Vets at the library, Carol Doyle, Margaret Vella, and with a special drop in from Brendan O'Connor. It was the launch of the Anzac's commemorative DVD. You should all get a chance to have a look at that. It's come out really well. On Wednesday the 7th, I attended a network night for the new hearing service in Melton, Australian Hearing Melton. And they'll also be at the expo this week, so you'll be able to have a chat with them, Cathy. On Thursday the 8th, many of us were at the breakfast, the City of Melton Breakfast Award dinner. Breakfast presentation, sorry, and Peter Alexander, founder of Peter Alexander Sleepwear, was there. And yeah, it was a really good talk. Everybody enjoyed it. 8th of the 10th was Medicare Local. It was actually the last night, unfortunately. It was a sad night for the wind up. I believe they were responsible for our Sons of the West program, which is going really strong. On Saturday, I attended the Platypus Festival, and on Monday night, as we started off the beginning of the night, the Witten Project graduation night 2015, and it was great to see 11 really strong members of our community getting up there and putting the best foot forward. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Sorry.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Now, I'm going to continue to sit if I may, because I've got some issues with my tummy, so I think is that okay? All right. This is 2 months of events. I won't do them all because Peter will get writer's cramp. But what I'll say is the last 2 months have been really interrupted. And I want to start off, because if I'm going to cry, I'll do it first up. I want to say that on the 27th of August, I lost my most beautiful baby girl, Samantha Sophie Ramsey. She died unexpectedly when her breathing stopped and then her heart stopped from more than likely an infection. But I can't thank this council enough, and each and every councillor, for the support and the executive and the community that are here and have been tirelessly supporting me over the last couple of weeks, because without that support, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. Councillor Majdic was so keen to talk about carers, and I almost cried at that point, because I've known nothing else but to be the carer of that beautiful girl for the last 21 years. And my reporting is going to be disjointed because of the mourning of my baby girl, but also the trip to Mexico, so please forgive me. But to everybody that sent flowers, we had 170-something bunches of flowers delivered to the house and close to 500 cards. This community is family. It's an extension of my family. I swore on the night, didn't I, Michelle and David, that if anyone sent flowers, I'd shoot them. Well, I can't take that literally, can I? So this community is second to none. When you've got each and every councillor at the funeral and the mayors of the five different councils there, it's something to be said for how wonderful the West is. And I'm so blessed to be here. This is my last council meeting as the mayor, and I just can't thank this community enough. So I'll go back to the report now, but thank you sincerely from all of us Ramsey girls. I had a morning tea with the Caroline Springs Seniors Group. I went to the Melton Secondary College Diversity Day. There was the pop culture and a Greece presentation by the students of Staunton College, which was second to none. I can't get over the fact that they put a pie in the face of the vice principal, but I'm still coming to terms with that. The Caroline Springs RSL celebrated Vietnam Veterans Day. There was a Partners of the Vietnam Veterans 10th birthday celebration. There was a ceremony to commemorate the Vietnam Veterans Day on the 18th of August. You'll get the theme. There was a lot around recognising those people that were prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. I went and presented to Youth Now, and the CEO was at the UNESCO conference with us, and she's a fantastic PA, I suppose. She'd be well out of the ranks of... She had it so organised it wasn't funny. The Order of Australia Western Division had a luncheon. The Order of Australian recipients of the medal had a luncheon, and they invited Mr. Michael Tadball and myself to present on behalf of Melton to them. The Western Metropolitan MAV Delegates Forum met before the Western Region Biannual Forum, where Minister Natalie Hutchins was present. The Caroline Springs Scouts Group also had an annual report day where Marlene Carus was there, and they presented us also with another scarf for that division. The Vietnam Vets had a dinner dance. I launched the short story competition the night Samantha passed. I think I left the library and then my whole world changed. I picked up the gauntlet again about 2 weeks later to come back to the Kids Teaching Kids Conference, and yes, it was absolutely fantastic, as they had close to 200 primary school leaders, students, in the Kurrajong Secondary College auditorium or gymnasium there, and they were giving feedback and ideas, and honestly, you would have thought you had 225-year-olds there, because They were articulate, they were precise, and they were so committed and so passionate. It was great. And I'll endorse Councillor Bentley's words. It's great when kids teach kids and get that sort of feedback. I was there at the launch or the commencement of the Bridge Road Pavilion with Minister for Sport, Mr. John Erin. Go Bridge Road. Well done, sorry. This is my last go, so I'm entitled. The children's drama performance, and I not only want to acknowledge Ruby, but I want to thank Dominique and Scott for bringing it to fruition and seeing those, there was either 30 or 40, I can't remember which, young kids actually do skits and perform. They're only this high. And they were so confident. I just was blown away by their confidence and their ability to get out there, and they were so proud to be performing in front of their parents. It was great. The citizenship ceremony, which I think Miles and Councillor Turner... Councillor Cook, were you there too? I can't remember. But, I mean, we had people from everywhere there, and it was great, and they're just getting bigger and better by the minute. The Festival of Healthy Living and Linking Melton South was on, and that was under the big tent, wasn't it, Mr. Bean? And everybody was yelling out my name, and I felt a bit like a celebrity that day, so that was incredible. And I can't thank the amount of attention that's gone into Melton South through Jerrawarra Health, through Melton Council, and through community groups such as the Lions, the radio station and others that were there, and the schools. They're empowering the community to be proud and to deliver projects that are pride of place, and it was a fantastic initiative. The launch of the community partners, we also had the drop-in session for the transport strategy. The Merrill Ball, what can I say about the Merrill Ball? Mr. Bean, I'm going to call him a councillor, General Manager Peter Bean, Mr. Dan Hogan, is he here? Yeah, he's here. Heidi Taylor, Christine Sita. Oh, yeah, no, I was getting to Dominique. I don't know, what's Dominique's surname? Roberts and Maddie. Maddie Nilsson. That team of six people pulled off an enchanted evening second to none. I am so grateful to each and every one of them. They have made my Merrill year a real blessing. And 2 weeks after my baby had passed, it was such a healing process to see so many of my community friends and family represented there along with my counsellors to enjoy the evening. And wasn't Anthony Kalia and those singing waiters absolutely sensational? And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, come next year, because the next mayor will have an even bigger and better one. I attended the AMA Incorporated team for Rockbank, and that's when Natalie Sullivan came along with me. That was to do with the Indian community that were there. They were celebrating partnership programs, Hope Street launch, responding to the youth homelessness in Melton at Woodgrove. That was a very moving experience, and in the heart of Woodgrove, if you want to spend $2, buy yourself a butterfly and help each and every one of us, because we can go to UNESCO and we can be on the front page of the paper, but we still have to help those amongst ourselves that need it. There was a cheque presentation from the club, and I can't thank Collingwood and all the other clubs that give money to the community to help programs thrive. I think between council's grants and the community grants, I think we get right up there. Is it almost... Sorry? Yeah, well, I got 500 and I got 800 and I was going to go for 750, so somewhere there is what's available each and every year for community groups. So for genuine programs where community partnerships happen. And if you don't know how to write a grant, go and see Mr. Bentley. He's always there. See Jill. We have the 2015 City of Melton Growing Business Confidence Breakfast. Mr. Peter Alexander, the Pajama King. Who doesn't sleep with Peter Alexander? Come on, it's a joke. The Medicare locals, Macedon Rangers, the Northwest Western Metropolitan did their wind-up, and Melton City Council was given a further grant to the second stage of
growing children, growing healthy children, growing together.
Healthy children growing together. Okay, the Platypus Festival, Lynn Holdsworth, you're a gem. The weather was fantastic, but it didn't last because we went to the Melton Plate. They put me on the back of a double sulky. I was feeling very nervous. I'll rephrase what I said earlier. When we first took off, by the end of it, I won the race. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Kel was going to be in a race just before or after the Melton Plate. The rain came. Not just rain, the storm came. The thunder, the lightning. For the second time in 3 years, the Melton Plate was postponed. Now, it'll be run later this month and early next month, so hopefully we'll see all those races happen. But everybody had a great night that stuck around. The CFA in Ainsbury had its grand opening on Saturday. We also had the Spring Hills Club presentation. I have never seen a club of 2,500 members, right, have more jumping castles in the Southern Hemisphere than the Spring Hills Football Club. What they gave back to their members for the day at Tabcorp Park was absolutely second to none, and I was there for each of the girls' presentations, and I delivered some of those presentations myself, and it was great to see girls having they're 20% of the whole membership of that football club or soccer club, whichever one you want to go with, whatever's politically correct, and it was brilliant to see. This week is all about Women Without Violence, or Women a Week Without Violence. It's all about putting everybody on notice that violence will not be tolerated, that we have to break down the gender discrimination that's out there, and we've got to be comfortable in our own skin. Sorry, I'm going to get it wrong. Is it Somalia? Samaya was there today with me painting a T-shirt, and it was our way of expressing our particular viewpoints in regards to breaking down those barriers. We've got a fantastic team led by some of our crucial our councillors and our executive in regards to stopping violence, especially against women and children, but we need to do more. So this week's all about that. It's Community Safety Month, but it's also the Carers Expo. And honestly, anyone that gives any part of their lives to looking after someone with special needs or elderly deserves a medal. And I hope they take full opportunities of all the activities that are happening this week in two sleeps, as Councillor Majlik tells us. So thank you very much, everybody. Okay. Now, having said that, we'll go on to notice of motion 409. Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move notice motion 14.1. That council right to Vic Roads requesting that an urgent review be made of the traffic flow in and around Christie's Road, Western Highway, with forethought to the increased traffic around the new Ravenhall train station.
Okay, does any council seek further clarification? Is there a seconder for this motion?
I'd like to second the motion, Madam Mayor, and commend Councillor Turner. This is a hot spot for a lot of traffic bank up in and around this area. So with the new Ravenhall / Caroline Springs train station coming along, it's going to be a particularly sore spot for residents trying to get through with their cars. So I commend Councillor Turner in putting this up for advocacy.
Thank you. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Majlik. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. 14.2, it's by myself. I hereby give notice of my intention to move the following. The Council determined that Council meetings and briefings for the 2016 calendar be convened on Monday evenings. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Please to second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? Thank you. The motion's carried unanimously. Okay, we will now move on to councillors' questions without notice. Nil. 16, motions without notice.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a motion without notice that Council write to the Crime Statistics Agency Victoria and request that the crime statistics reported for the City of Melton not include any crimes committed by inmates currently incarcerated within the two prisons located in our municipality, as is the case presently.
Okay, excellent. Okay, any other motions without notice? Urgent business. All right. Now, before I close the meeting to the gallery.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I was just waiting for you to say item 18, confidential.
Okay, I will. Confidential business.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated in the report for item 18.1 and 18.2.
The motion's been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Now I want to thank the gallery, but I want to thank the gallery for supporting me through the last 12 months as well. I want you all to take the time to have coffee and tea, if there's any coffee and tea out there. Has it been moved? Okay. And we will see you shortly. Thank you and drive safely. Where is it? Normally it comes to the back, isn't it? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Fair enough.